Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Money FM 89.3, welcome back to Sustainable Singapore with me, Rianne Lovell-Boland. Now, it is the new year and it's always a good time for reflection and setting new goals. That's why the annual Veganuary Challenge encourages people to follow a vegan lifestyle for the month of January to raise awareness about animal welfare and also the harmful impact of animal protein-focused diets on the environment. Well, one such non-profit organisation promoting the challenge here in Singapore is the Centre for Responsible Future. So joining us on the line to share more about the impact plant-based diets have is Joanna Chen, Executive Director at the Centre for Responsible Future. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello. Hi. Thanks a lot for having me here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking the time. First off, let's start with a new study, which was by Nature Food. It found that if people in developed nations adopted a healthy, low meat diet, a huge amount of carbon dioxide could be actually sucked out of the air by letting farmland revert back to natural forests and grasslands. So, you know, just walk us through what impact adopting a vegan lifestyle can actually have on the planet.
Sure. So meat consumption in general is not efficient for the planet, especially when we are talking about a 9 billion population by 2050. So let's just talk about the agricultural land that it needs to feed our populations. So only 55% of the world crop's calories feed people directly, and the rest, about 36 to 40%, actually goes into the livestock. So when you look at the numbers, you know that it is not efficient use of our resources. And then let's talk about the other resources, such as our water. So we can compare this with this, let's say, a kg of carrot. So we use about 131 liters of water to grow 1 kg of carrot, but when it comes to the same amount to beef, we actually use 15,000 liters. So there's a lot of resources, and we are talking about, and I haven't even got to the carbon emission that we're looking at. So once again, if we compare beef vis-a-vis, let's say, tofu, beef actually produces 31 more times of carbon dioxide as compared to our tofu. So adopting a vegan lifestyle, having a plant-based diet really eases the resources of our planet and make the world and environment much more sustainable.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing all of those numbers. And it's coming to that point now where plant-based lifestyles really are kind of the key to trimming our carbon emissions. Do you think that people can live sustainably if they are heavy meat consumers?
It's all about the choices and the things we do. So, of course, eating is one aspect of it. Sometimes if you buy lesser, you also can reduce your carbon emission and how much you're taking from this planet. But we must recognize and note that a lot of our resources in this world goes into agriculture. A lot of them goes into what we consume and eat. So what we eat really does matter. So by reducing your meat consumption, you're really helping the planet and making a better generations and the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So now let's turn our attention to Veganuary. I mean, it is still January. Could you share how many people signed up for the challenge in Singapore this year?
Yeah, so Veganuary, as you have rightly mentioned, is still ongoing. So the numbers are still being consolidated as we speak, and there's still some campaigns going on in Singapore, so do join them. So, but if we look at the 2021 numbers last year, on a global basis, about 500,000 signed up for Veganuary. So that's actually quite a huge number of people signing up and taking a pledge to go plant-based for the month of January.
You mentioned last year, and I'm guessing, you know, in 2020, we had the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Have you noticed a trend of people adopting more plant-based lifestyles because of the pandemic?
Definitely. So I think pandemic is a time where we start looking inwards, also because of the fact that most of us are quarantined. But this is the time where we start looking inwards at what we do, how we consume, and a lot of focus on health. So this is where we see a shift where people want to eat things that matters, not just to the environment, but also to their own health. So they take care into the consumption and reducing their meat because they've been going to be more aware of the things that they put into their mouth will have an impact on their health. So we did see a shift in the interest from people pre-COVID and after COVID. Okay, after is technically not the right word. We're still going through a pandemic right now.
Yeah, absolutely. if someone listening to this and is, you know, the fantastic stats which you shared has really resonated with them, but they just don't know where to start, what would you recommend? Is it too late to start?
It's never, ever too late to start. You can start anytime you want. So although beginnery, we say let's start in January because January is the start of the year, but actually this is a lifelong, year-long journey that you can start anytime. So we do understand it may be very daunting for an individual who has never tried a plant-based diet to jump into taking a pledge. So this is where our nonprofit Center for Responsible comes in. So we support individual on their journey by teaching them how to reduce their meat consumption. So for example, this year beginnery, we actually created a beginnery support kit on the kit itself. It's free of charge. You can go to the website to download. You can know how you can replace your plant-based diet on a nutrition level, some of the recipe you can have, the tips and tricks of going plant-based. So it can be daunting, but do join it. We can always start small and then you will get there somehow.
Speaking of small, attitudes in Singapore are clearly changing because a YouGov survey in 2020 revealed that 2 in 5, or roughly 39% of Singaporeans, are currently on the flexitarian diet, which is when you only occasionally eat meat and animal products, and the rest of the time you eat vegan, plant-based. So do you think that the wider range of meat, seafood and dairy substitutes becoming more readily available has actually been a real key factor in this shift?
That is for sure, because there was a study carried out in US and it was found out that taste is actually one of the top priority to drive purchase and consumption of food and alternative protein. So in the recent year, we have seen an increasing amount of alternative protein in the market that tastes closer and more familiar and better than the ones that we have seen 10 years ago. So having this wider range of meat and seafood dairy substitutes allow us to have option to go on a flexitarian diet. But having said that, we also note that it's also this increase in education and awareness that plays a part in this. This awareness provides an impetus for people to want to change. You must have a seed of motivation to want to change your diet. And this part, we see that in the last 5 to 10 years.
You mentioned taste there because on the flip side, in the same 2020 study, when asked the likelihood of becoming fully vegetarian or vegan in the next 12 months, only 1 in 7 said it was likely. So apart from maybe taste and the impetus, what else could be holding Singaporeans back?
I guess it's mainly because changing how you eat is a very, very personal choice and it affects your lifestyle. So maybe for many to switch entirely within a fixed period of time may be daunting. So they may have a misconception or conception that it will affect how they eat with their friends because now they'll be limited by the number of restaurants they can go, or they'll feel limited by the options of food they can try. But then this is no longer the same. Things are changing because we have seen an increased number of plant-based alternative options in even non-vegan restaurants. So things are changing. Of course, we can't be zero to hero in like 2 days or 1 year, but it is changing for the better.
I mean, one question that I've heard is whether plant-based meat substitutes are healthier than the real thing. I mean, what would you say to people who ask these questions?
So when we look at the health aspect of things, it's always about what you choose and how you eat. So if you look at your conventional meat or conventional diet, there is also a whole range from fried chicken wing to very, very healthy alternatives. It's the same with the plant-based meat substitute. There is a wide range where you can choose from. You can choose for slightly more processed alternative protein or even whole food such as tofu. So, for example, if we just do a comparison and we look at a cup of tofu, it actually has the same protein level as your 24 ounce of beef, but it's at a much, much lesser calorie levels. So it is indeed much healthier. So a lot of times it's how you choose to eat and what you eat that really matters.
And on that note, you at the CRF offer and help individuals and also businesses make more environmentally sustainable choices. So can you share some of the details of these initiatives?
At Centre for Responsible Future, we support both individual and businesses through various prongs. So, for example, for individuals, we provide various programs to help them go plant-based, whether it's replacing their nutrition level when talking about plant-based food, or learning how to cook plant-based, or even just understanding why you should plant-based. So not only that, we also look at the plant-based trend in general in the ecosystem. And for businesses, we go deeper into food sustainability because there are increasing interest to go into food sustainability, food security. So we help corporates to assist them in their internal corporate sustainability to go green through food. So we help different prongs of stakeholders within the plant-based ecosystem when it comes to plant-based diet.
And could you give some examples of how you've helped these businesses and corporates actually change?
So at TRF, we recognize that for an individual to go plant-based, it's really important to give consumer options and to show that plant-based can be affordable, tasty, healthy, and has a wide range of variety. So in this instance, we support our plant-based business and we serve as a platform for them to share their products with our consumer. So let's say we have supported startup like Zenko Superfood in bridging the market awareness to our community. Not only this, we also connect various startup plant-based manufacturers to corporates who want to go plant-based for their employees.
And you mentioned it a little bit earlier that you have other events and activities going on at the Centre for Responsible Future. So what do you have coming up for the rest of 2022?
So we have a variety and various activities and events across the year. So for the month of February, we are actually having our monthly online talks, which happen every last Wednesday of the month. In the month of February, we'll be having a talk on how do you shop plant-based and how do you look at plant-based retail products in Singapore. So do keep a lookout on our website.
Oh, wow. It sounds absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing more details about going plant-based, not just for the environment, but also for our health.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rianne.
I've been speaking to Joanna Chen, Executive Director at the Centre for Responsible Future. I'm Rianne Lovell-Boland, and this has been Sustainable Singapore on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.